Okay, welcome to this information-packed edition of Brighteon Broadcast News for Monday, May 20th, 2024. Thank you for joining me today. Mike Adams, building the infrastructure of human freedom. And first, let me play for you the two-minute poise-spinning light painting demonstration that I performed in front of a live audience on Friday. Check this out.
Three, two, one, go.
Hope you enjoyed that. A lot of people were really, really intrigued by what that was. And I've recorded separately a full explanation of, well, poise spinning arts and so on. But I do want to mention that those LED light sticks that I was using there, I had only received them 3 days before that performance. I performed that on Friday and I got them on Tuesday. And I had never played with those before. Now, of course, I've done, you know, for many years, I've done LED poise spinning. So I knew the movements and everything, but these LED light sticks, you have to program them with the images and then they paint the air with persistent images. The effect in person is really dramatic. You can't see half of it on video, but in person, because of the way that it kind of burns the light into your eyes with your, you know, your persistent retina vision, it looks like it's painting full circle images in the air. It is extraordinary. If you've never seen that in person, it's really something worth seeing. But I only got those things 3 days early, and then I downloaded the software, put in all the images that I wanted to display, make it really cool, sometimes a little bit psychedelic. I put an American flag at the very end, well, near the very end, and some solar flares and lightning bolts and all kinds of stuff, because I tend to do more of a power poi. And then I started furiously practicing until I almost had blisters on my fingers. And it was even during the live performance, it was painful, because my I don't yet have the calluses designed for those light sticks, which are much heavier than the normal poi that I've ever done before. I mean, these are really heavy compared to anything else. So I think I'm fortunate to have pulled it off without too much glitching, and I hope you enjoyed that. If you want to learn more about poi spinning or the flow arts, I will be posting a separate special audio report on that. And the good news is I've decided, because of the overwhelming response to this, I'm going to put together some more performances for you and just record them like in my forest or something. I don't have to perform them in front of a live audience. I'm just going to do it myself and film it. Try to get a better camera setup that will capture more of the light effect, and then just show you those from time to time. It's kind of a cool way to express your, you know, your inner artist. And by the way, poi spinning makes your shoulders really flexible and strong. By the way, if you're looking for something to do to keep yourself fit and to end shoulder pain and have strong wrists and forearms and hand-eye coordination and gentle movement, but not jogging, not pounding or anything like that, hey, poi spinning may be for you. I'll bring you more information about that in my special report. All right, we've got all kinds of major news breaking right now, of course, involving the helicopter crash that appears to have killed the president of Iran, President Ebrahim Raisi, and his foreign minister and a few other top officials. It now appears almost certain that they have been killed in this crash. One member of the passenger list was the governor of the East Azerbaijan province, and another was the foreign minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian, I think. Another is the imam of the northern city of Tabriz, the Ayatollah Ali Hashem, and then, of course, Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi. Regardless of what you think about Iran and its leaders and their whatever, their morals, their ethics, their behavior, this incident has enormous geopolitical implications that are extremely dangerous. We're going to get into that today. That has become the number one story today because we need to understand what this means. And if there is any evidence of Israeli sabotage, and there have already been rumors of that, nothing obviously confirmed, it's too early to know, but if Israel is found to have been involved in this, or the U.S., yeah, things are not going to go well in terms of regional stability, that's for sure. We'll talk about that in a second. Speaking of stability, though, I want to mention this up front. Gold and silver are just absolutely skyrocketing. There are a number of reasons for this. I recorded a separate special report, which I'll play later. But as I'm recording this right now, gold is $2,437. So it's blown through 2,400 and it just keeps going. But the real breakout story is silver. Silver, which has languished in the sub 30 realm for many, many years, silver is now $32.24. And also exploding, headed much higher. There may be pullbacks from time to time, of course. Silver is relatively volatile. But what these price breakouts indicate is that we are rapidly approaching the end of global dollar dominance. And the massive money printing, this final chapter of the U.S. empire, is coming to an end faster than I even feared. Gold and silver are about to skyrocket because the value of the dollar is absolutely collapsing. In fact, that's what these prices indicate, are an ounce of gold in dollars. So as dollars are collapsing, the price of gold looks like it's skyrocketing, when actually gold and silver are just sort of overall holding their value. It's the dollar that's collapsing, and other currencies, mostly Western currencies, that are collapsing. So for those of you who already purchased gold and silver because you knew that was a wise thing to do, and of course I've been recommending it for many years and explaining why, a very rational thought process behind gold and silver. If you own any gold and silver, you are very happy right now in terms of the fact that gold and silver are holding their value. They're doing what they're supposed to do, holding value. And also for those of you who purchase goldbacks, which is a product that we endorse because we did the lab testing for it, and it contains real physical gold. Many of you purchased gold backs when they were $4 per gold back or even less. I know when I first started talking about it, they were $3.78 per gold back. Right now, one gold back, the commonly accepted average value of one gold back is $5.02. So gold backs are also tremendously gaining in value, tracking along with gold, which makes sense. Platinum is also up, by the way, and palladium is mostly moving sideways, but things are happening dramatically in the gold and silver market. Now, I have reached out to our gold and silver sponsor, the Treasure Island Company, to try to get an update on what's happening. Sometimes I don't know. I've also reached out to David Morgan. I'll probably be interviewing David Morgan in the next couple of days to try to get a sense of are consumers suddenly buying more gold and silver, or is this a central bank-led demand wave that's causing the prices to go up? Because over the last several months, there weren't a lot of consumers really buying a lot of gold and silver. That may have just changed. But most of the purchasing over the past, well, let's say 9 months or so, has been central bank purchasing. And China, interestingly, China has been allowing its U.S. treasuries, at China holding U.S. debt, China has been allowing those treasuries to expire, which is what treasuries do, obviously. But instead of then reinvesting in new treasuries, what China is doing is rolling that over into physical gold. So when you see these stories about China selling off, $53 billion worth of treasuries in the last quarter or so, I think that number has been floating around. Yeah, here it is. Yahoo Finance was even reporting that. Maybe we'll talk about that. $53 billion in the first quarter of 2024. So it's not that China is actually selling treasuries off that still have time to maturity. Instead, China is allowing them to mature and then buying gold with the money that it would otherwise have put back into treasuries. So over time, China is rolling out of dollars. And at this pace, think about it. $50 billion a quarter, that's $200 billion a year. It's only going to take, 3.5 years, and China's out. That's it. No more dollars held by China at all. And that's probably their plan. And by the way, who's buying dollars? Nobody except the Fed. Really, the Fed is printing money to buy the treasuries, so it's buying its own debt. But essentially, nobody else around the world is buying treasuries at this point. I know there are some institutional investors that still do. But other nations, no, they're done with the dollar. So the dollar is going to zero. There's no question about it. We're going to end up in a hyperinflation format here, massive money printing. And in fact, I wanted to play for you something that analyst Ed Dowd said in an interview that I caught over the weekend that is really extraordinary. He says that the U.S., the government and the central bank have to keep coming up with new and bigger crises in order to justify massive financial stimulus into the zombie economic system. And this is why they need war so desperately. I mean, they use COVID to push a massive amount of stimulus. They gave, tens of billions of dollars to companies and directly to people on debit cards to stimulate the economy, to keep the Ponzi debt scheme going. And that's one of the reasons they needed COVID so badly, was to just try to stop the collapse. And they did. They kicked the can down the road, so to speak. But now they need something bigger. They need a war. And this is, depending on the causes behind this helicopter crash, the U.S. might be involved in this. We don't know yet. But if the U.S. is involved, this could be an attempt to start World War III in order to justify yet more money stimulus and try to kick the can, another sector down the road. But listen to Ed Dowd, in his words, explain why another massive crisis is needed.
When people say the Fed prints money, they print the money, but then it turns into debt. I mean, so you cannot print a dollar without an associated debt. So every dollar we print is associated with the Treasury issuance. That's why they need continuous excuses to spend more money. And COVID was a great one. And so to keep this thing going, you're going to need ever-increasing amounts of debt. So you're going to need big events to justify spending. You can't just spend and say, oh, we're going to do this and give the money away to, like, everybody. So what they'll do is, I've been predicting war, another pandemic, and or, believe it or not, space aliens. Because if you could convince the world that we're under assault from space aliens, imagine the budgets that would be justified to unify the world against the threat of the outsiders. And the budgets there would be phenomenal. You could justify any amount of spending and printing.
So you see what Ed Dowd said just there? Yeah, COVID was a really great cover story for massive stimulus and massive money printing. And then on top of that, a world war might be the next great excuse to print more money. And then even beyond that, he said space aliens. And what he's talking about, actually, and he's not joking there, he's talking about this idea of the cosmic false flag, a faked space alien contact event where our governments conspire to use, laser projections in the sky or a bunch of drones that are coordinated in the night sky. I mean, they can already do this, or elaborate tech that they already have, that like anti-gravity hovercraft technology that they reverse engineered from, crash sites or what have you. They could put on a show just like they did with COVID. That was a giant show. I hope you know. That's why they call it the plandemic. It was a giant show when it turns out there really wasn't an infectious virus that was spreading from person to person. The entire thing was, it was theater, but it was accented by the release of actual chemical weapons in order to create the symptoms, make people sick, send them to the hospital, and create the COVID casualties and so on. So there was a weapon release, but it wasn't what they told us it was. It was a chemical or biochemical weapon, maybe would be the more accurate way to say that. And then they injected everybody with the vaccines, which was the real weapon. And that's what's been killing people ever since. So what Ed Dowd's talking about is space aliens. And what they would do with this is they would fake a giant alien contact event or an alien attack on Earth. And then they would say, oh my gosh, we have to cancel all elections, because aliens. And also, you have to give up your guns, because when aliens are here, you can't have human rights for whatever reason. They'll make up some excuse. The media will all fall in line with their coordinated CIA teleprompter messaging, now we have to, the aliens told us we have to give up combustion engines and farming for whatever reason. And then they'll say, well, and in exchange, the aliens will spare us and they'll give us the cure for cancer, which will turn out to be just another mRNA jab from Pfizer that ends up killing more people. Oh, yeah. You want the alien cancer cure jab? Line up here. And all these stupid suckers will line up. Yeah, I want the alien jab, And then they're all dead 6 months later from triple turbo cancer. But anyway, you get the idea. You're living in an artificial reality at this point. Everything is rigged. Probably even this helicopter crash. I'm not saying it didn't happen. The crash is almost certainly real, but it was probably rigged. I mean, we'll see. We'll talk about that in more detail in a little bit here. I mean, okay, maybe it's just fog. Seems unlikely to me. Or maybe it was geoengineered weather weapons fog, Anyway, we'll get to that. So the Western financial infrastructure, the whole system of Western finance is built on debt. The debt is collapsing. The currency is collapsing. This is why gold and silver are spiking. This is why, if you want to have any assets remaining when the musical chairs stop here, you don't want to be left holding dollars. And so I do have a special report coming up here about gold and silver that's probably worth listening to. Let me read you this headline from Yahoo Finance, actually citing Bloomberg. China sells record sum of U.S. debt amid signs of diversification. China has boosted gold holdings in official reserves. This is highlighting the Asian nation's move to diversify away from American assets as trade tensions persist. Beijing offloaded a total of $53.3 billion of treasuries and agency bonds in the first quarter, according to calculations from data of the U.S. Department of the Treasury. And then Belgium, it says, disposed of $22 billion of U.S. treasuries during the same period. So it's not just China dumping U.S. treasuries. Belgium's like, we got to get out of this too before this whole thing collapses. Now, the U.S. under Joe Biden has said they've enacted sweeping tariff hikes on Chinese imports, including Chinese EVs, by the way. And they raised the tariff on Chinese EVs to 100%. So if you're going to buy an electric vehicle that's made in China, let's say it normally costs $25,000. Well, it's going to be $50,000 because it's 100% tariff. And that money goes to fund the U.S. government to buy more bombs for Israel and other things, other wasted projects or nefarious projects. So an analyst here from Bloomberg Intelligence says that China's selling of U.S. securities could speed up as U.S.-China trade war resumes. Yep. And then China is increasing its gold reserves. It says that the share of gold in its reserves climbed to 4.9% in April, the highest, according to central bank data, going back to 2015. So the bottom line is that what you're watching here is the world is dumping U.S. treasuries and the world is dumping U.S. dollars. Remember that Putin and Xi just announced that 90% of the trade between China and Russia is carried out in currencies other than the dollar. So the whole world is dumping the dollar. And what this means is that eventually it's just going to be the U.S. printing its own money to buy its own debt, to print more money, to hand more money to Israel and Ukraine and whoever else, green energy companies. And hyperinflation will be happening. You're going to see food prices double this year, probably. You're going to see insurance rates double again in the next 12 to 18 months. I mean, yeah, twice what you're paying now. You're going to see the middle class in America utterly financially decimated by the declining value of the dollar. People who only hold dollars and stocks and treasuries are going to be wiped out. Those who are wealthy will become the new poor. But those who have gold and silver will become the new wealthy. Or other assets that hold value, in some cases land, in some cases a business, you know, things like that. But gold and silver with certainty. So you're about to see a once in a century massive reconfiguration of assets and wealth distribution across society. And it's going to cause a lot of upheaval domestically and internationally. And again, those left holding dollars will be utterly wiped out, and there's going to come a day when it's too late to do anything about it. So stay tuned. After we cover Iran, we are going to get into the special report that I recorded earlier about gold and silver, why it's skyrocketing. All right, so let's shift gears here. Let's talk about Iran. Let me show you the photo here. This photo is being widely reported by press in Iran as the first image of the helicopter crash site. And there was apparently dense fog during this incident. It was first reported as a, quote, hard landing. And if you're looking at this photo, you can see that's a really hard landing. Yeah, kind of hard to call it a landing. It looks like collision with terrain. In fact, that's obviously what it is. So flying a helicopter in fog in mountainous regions is often a suicide mission. So that could very well be the explanation for this. Although we don't wish death upon anyone, and no matter what happens, this will be very destabilizing for lots of reasons that we'll talk about here. I hope that this is merely a weather-related accident and not sabotage, not like a bomb on board the helicopter that was set to go off so that Israel and the U.S. could blame the fog or something. So let's talk about the possibilities here, okay? Possibility number one, that the helicopter pilot just flew into fog. It seems crazy. If you're trained as a helicopter pilot, you know not to do that, especially in a very mountainous region. You don't fly into fog because helicopters have very limited altitude capabilities. You can't get above the fog to where you can see what's going on. So you're just stuck in the thick of it. And not a good situation. Maybe perhaps he was ordered, you know, keep flying. We have to get to our destination. We don't know. There's no way to know. But that's possibility number one, is that this was just natural fog. However, according to reports that I saw, there wasn't fog in the forecast. At least my understanding is there wasn't. So if the fog swept in, it was sudden fog. And that brings in the obvious question, not that we have any evidence of this at this point, but there's an obvious question of, could this have been artificially generated fog? You know, weather control. Well, number one, weather control technology absolutely does exist. And we also know that just recently, during the so-called solar flare, that the HAARP system was running a test to see if it could cause essentially aurora borealis effects to light up in the sky. It was trying to make the sky glow. And some people think that we didn't really have a solar flare and that was just a HAARP system test. Maybe they're right. I don't know. But HAARP plays with the ionosphere. And it's just one system that is able to control, you know, global effects. There are other weather control systems that are patented. You know, we've talked to Dane Wigington from Geoengineering Watch about many of these technologies. I think there are over 100 patents in the U.S. Patent Office for weather control systems. Some of them create fog, some of them create rain, some create storms, and so on. So there's no question that this technology exists. Does that mean that this was used by Western forces to try to bring down the helicopter of the Iranian president? Well, no, of course not. That's not proof of that, but it is something that we need to consider. Another possibility is that there could have been sabotage. There could have been a bomb on board the helicopter. And then perhaps the bomb was detonated in the middle of the fog to make it look like it was a fog collision with terrain. Well, if there was a bomb on board, typically such a bomb would leave behind some residue of the type of explosives that were used. And I would imagine that Iran is going to conduct a full investigation, potentially even with the help of some technical expertise from Russia, possibly. Russia has already donated assets for the search and rescue operation, for example, because Russia is very friendly with Iran. So I'm sure they're going to do a full analysis. And if they find traces of an explosive or something else, some kind of obvious sabotage of who knows what, you know, the hydraulics or the fuel gauges, I don't know. How do you sabotage a helicopter? I don't know, but I'm sure the CIA knows. And I'm sure Mossad knows. They probably got a whole manual on it, right? It's possible that this was sabotage. Do not forget also that years ago, the U.S. and Mossad collaborated on Stuxnet. Stuxnet was a virus, a computer virus that was designed to penetrate the nuclear fuel centrifuge hardware systems that were being used by Iran and to cause them to not spin at the right rate for many, many months, thereby setting back Iran's nuclear development program, the enrichment program. And then ultimately, I think, as I recall, the Stuxnet virus caused this hardware to destroy itself in some way. I don't recall all the details, but this was a very elaborate computer virus that took control of mechanical systems. And it was written at extreme cost. It was the most elaborate computer virus ever created at the time, and maybe even to this day, by the way, a massive payload. And they infected the computers of the entire world in order to distribute this thing with the aim of getting it onto the laptop of some engineer who worked in the nuclear enrichment facility with Iran. And it succeeded. It worked. And it really set back Iran's nuclear weapons development program for, well, I think a number of years. Then, of course, Barack Obama gave Iran all kinds of billions of dollars to restart the program. And with the, was it the JCPOA, Iran has been pursuing nuclear weapons ever since. And as I reported last week, recently, one of the legislators in Iran openly admitted that Iran has nuclear weapons. Now, that's important to note. And here's why. Because if there's any evidence of sabotage from Israel, I mean any evidence, and if indeed the Iranian president, Ebrahim Raisi, if he's perished, the nationalist calls for revenge against Israel will be so unprecedented that, let me put it this way. If Israel is definitively linked to the assassination of President Raisi, Israel would be utterly destroyed without hesitation, without regard for Israel's nuclear weapons. Now, here's another reason why this is so critical to understand right now. And by the way, just stepping back, I know that some of you don't want to hear about war in the world. I don't either. I don't. I met many, many people at the live event where I performed the poi spinning last week, and I really enjoyed meeting all of you and shaking hands and taking selfies and talking with so many people. And thank you for all your kind words. Met a lot of listeners of this program. And one woman said to me how much she enjoys the program, but she's really become fatigued about hearing about war and conflict. Me too. I'm burned out on the topic, frankly, and yet this is where we are in history. The powers that be keep pushing us into World War III. So we have to cover this because the implications for us are dire in terms of our currency, our elections, our national security, World War III, war with Russia or China, escalation into global nuclear war. This is real. So here's why this is important. Do you recall that, remember April 1st, I think it was, that Israel bombed the Iranian consulate building in Damascus? And then 2 weeks later, and that was an illegal assassination of Iranian leaders by Israel. From that event, many people in Iran were just begging Iran to nuke Israel. Now, fortunately, cooler heads prevailed, and Iran did not nuke Israel. Instead, 2 weeks later, I think it was April 14th or thereabouts, 2 weeks later, Iran launches its 300-plus rockets and drones and a few ballistic missiles, which achieved something very dramatic in the Middle East. Number one, it showed that Israel's Iron Dome defense system is junk. It doesn't work. Oh yeah, it can take down like cheap drones and old rockets. It could not stop any of the ballistic missiles. Some of them were claimed to have been hypersonic. None of them were stopped. Iran was able to target a highly sensitive Mossad military base and to hit specific buildings that it wanted to hit, proving to the world, to anybody paying attention, that Israel actually does not have an Iron Dome that functions, and Israel cannot stop Iran's incoming missiles at all. In other words, Iran just established ballistic dominance, stating in essence that Iran can strike Israel anytime, anywhere, can hit any target in the country of Israel, any military base, anytime it wants. And there's nothing Israel can do to stop it. Furthermore, what this did is it depleted the ammunition required, you know, the anti-air defense munitions or missiles from the Patriot missile systems and the David Sling and whatever they're all called. It depleted all that ammunition costing Israel that one day now an estimated $1.5 billion in spent munitions. Now, remember that the United States of America, the entire Pentagon, the entire military-industrial complex, only manufactures about 500 Patriot missile rounds or Patriot battery missiles per year. About 500 a year, okay? That's it. You fire two of them to stop every incoming drone or incoming rocket. So, in other words, every year, the United States only manufactures enough Patriot missile battery ammunition to stop 250 incoming rockets. And right now, Ukraine is begging for another Patriot missile battery, by the way. And, you know, because their anti-air defenses are just completely destroyed. Ukraine is suffering massive hits on recently a natural gas compression infrastructure facility. Ukraine's actually suffering rolling blackouts, reportedly, because of the loss of power infrastructure there, because they don't have anti-air defenses any longer. Well, Israel doesn't have much left either. And Iran just proved this. And between Iran and Hezbollah, those two groups can send thousands of missiles into Israel. Thousands of missiles. Israel does not have enough ammunition to shoot them down. And in any case, if Iran and Hezbollah were to do this, they would do it in a coordinated fashion, and they would send in all the cheap junk first. Like, you know, here's the cheap low-dollar drones. Bought these at the dollar store, actually. You know, they're wind-up propellers flying through the air. And the U.S. and Israel will spend like $12 million to shoot it down, you know, because it's $6 million per round or whatever it is. I don't know exactly how many millions it is, but you get the idea. Iran could just buy a bunch of Chinese-made drones on Amazon.com and just send in like 5,000 drones. And then in one day, Israel would just use up all its air defense ammo, done. And then Iran and Hezbollah would just have a total field day. So, oh, now we'll launch the big stuff. Here comes the big stuff. Tel Aviv, kaboom, you know, giant mushroom cloud. This is the danger I'm talking about. We are in a very precarious situation right now because of the emotional response to the nation of Iran, its people, its government leaders, who have already suffered the insulting assassination of their leaders on April 1st, when Israel carried out that assassination. And then, of course, President Trump, during his administration, assassinated Soleimani, who was a highly respected official. Now, if it turns out that the president and the foreign minister of Iran, if it turns out they've been assassinated, Iran is going to snap. This is going to go beyond any kind of measured response, is my guess. I mean, this is my analysis. I can't prove to you that this is correct, but this is where I sense this is going. Iran's going to snap. And, you know, combined with what Israel is doing in Gaza, the mass slaughter of innocent civilians there, which is raising emotional tensions all across the region, including in Iran. And the fact that the U.S. Navy is not as strong as it once appeared, that U.S. aircraft carriers are easy targets, let's say. It's not hard to imagine a situation where Iran just launches an all-out attack on U.S. naval vessels and Tel Aviv and other cities and targets across Israel. Hezbollah launches, and then the U.S. retaliates against Iran, and so Russia gets involved and starts nuking U.S. ships. So this is probably one of the reasons why gold and silver are spiking, and it's another reason why we're about to see skyrocketing energy prices. Because, of course, any kind of war in that region would probably see Iran shutting off the Strait of Hormuz, and that would cause huge, just huge disruptions in energy exports out of the region to, well, to all the Western world, frankly, and other parts of the world. So energy prices could absolutely skyrocket. This would be very, very damaging to the Biden reelection efforts. But remember, I think that a deal has already been made to allow Trump to win and put Trump back into the White House. A deal with the Zionists, by the way. So that all circles back around. So if the Zionists were part of this sabotage of this helicopter, which is exactly something that they would love to do, you know, assassinate the leader of Iran, it would also provoke Iran into an escalated response that Israel needs in order to drag the U.S. into the war, and it would cause a spike in energy prices, which would get Biden out of the White House, which is what the Zionists want now also, because Biden has too many sort of anti-war Democrats, you know, from Israel's point of view. Biden's got the whole pro-Muslim sector, as well as the anti-war sector, that Israel doesn't want to have any influence in the White House, whereas the GOP now has become 100% pro-war, pro-Zionism, pro-Israel, no matter what. Now, just to be clear, you know my position on this. I'm anti-war. I mean, I'm pro-peace because I want to end human suffering. But this isn't about me or you. This is about what's happening in the world and their motivations and the fire that they are playing with. Israel, if they're involved in this, this is the worst news possible, because this is going to lead to a series of escalations that will likely just, it could end the elections even if it gets bad enough. It could double gas prices at the pump. It could cause massive food inflation. It could end up resulting in the deaths of even potentially millions of people as nuclear bombs start to fall. I mean, this could really get biblical here. So let us hope and pray that this was just fog and nothing else. Let us pray that Israel was not involved in this. Let us pray also that the people of Iran can somehow accept that this was just an accident, bad weather, let's say, and nothing more. And yet what I really fear is that sometime over the next 2 weeks, some smoking gun evidence is going to appear. I don't know, like some video of some Mossad agents messing with the helicopter, or some emails or financial transactions showing up, and it's like, smoking gun, Mossad sabotage the helicopter. Oh my, if we see that, hold on to your hats, folks. Gold's gonna spike, silver's gonna spike, oil's gonna spike. The world's gonna become a whole lot more dangerous, and there will be calls domestically inside Iran to nuke the bejesus out of Israel, or to, even if not nukes, just to use every freaking missile in their arsenal. Now, related to all of this, there's been an interesting development. You know this emergency pier that the U.S. military has constructed off the coast of Gaza? This pier, the construction is now complete, and they're using the pier to offload what they say is food aid. And do you recall what I said a few weeks ago? I said that this pier is actually part of a plan to deploy U.S. military soldiers and military assets in Gaza to serve as human shields in order to try to stop Israel from bombing Rafah in particular. Remember me saying that? This is notable because nobody else has reported that in the media, not even in alternative media that I've seen. Apparently, I'm the only one who has ever said that. Well, guess what? Guess what was witnessed today? Photographs coming out of Gaza show the U.S. military unloading armor off of that emergency pier. Armored vehicles with U.S. troops are moving into southwestern Gaza. And this armor is most likely designed to be clearly seen as U.S. armor, and it's going to fulfill the role of human shields. and there will be messages sent to the IDF, do not bomb Rafah because U.S. assets are now present in the area. But this is going to be hugely complicated because Hamas also sees the United States Empire as its enemy because the U.S. is providing munitions and bombs to Israel. And yet, this other faction within the U.S. government is providing food aid. I know. I mean, it's crazy. Our country is completely bonkers. It's like, hey, Israel, stop bombing the civilians in Gaza, but here, have some more 2,000-pound bombs. And then to the civilians in Gaza, we say, hey, here, have some food aid, which will really be helpful when the bombs start falling, the bombs that we just gave Israel. I mean, it's freaking nuts. But this is what it's come to. So it's not clear to me whether Hamas is going to treat this U.S. presence as friendly or enemy. I don't know the answer to that. What I do know is that the food aid that's trying to come in through other channels is being mostly interdicted and destroyed by radical Israeli civilian extremists. We showed you a video last week where they stop a truck, they yank all the food off, and then they have their Israeli Zionist children stomp all over the food while they're joyfully, gleefully laughing, stomping the food, stomping. I mean, these are some evil people. The level of nefarious, diabolical evil that is demonstrated when you raid food aid trucks and rip the food off of them and destroy the food so that other families will starve to death, you're pure evil. You're demonic. And that's what the Zionists are doing. And that's why this pier had to be built by the U.S., because the U.S. couldn't control the other aid routes. Israel was controlling them, and the Israeli government was allowing citizens to take over and hijack all the trucks and destroy all the food aid. And that's why hundreds of thousands of people in Gaza are currently facing mass famine right now. And frankly, this food aid that's being offloaded is only scratching the surface. It's not going to be enough to stop mass starvation. And I think its real purpose is to offload U.S. troops, frankly. I think that U.S. troops are going to occupy southern Gaza to stop Israel. I think that's exactly where this is going. And then the question is, how insane of a psychopath is Netanyahu? I mean, the answer is kind of self-evident, but is he crazy enough to bomb U.S. soldiers? And the answer to that, of course, is yes, because they already did that. To the naval vessel, what was that, 1967? Forgot the name of that ship now, but Israel attacked and tried to sink a U.S. naval vessel and killed something like 34 sailors that were on that ship. I think that was 1967, because the ship witnessed the atrocities that Israel was carrying out even back then, and so they tried to sink it in order to silence those sailors, and they disabled the communications at first. So the ship could not report what it had seen. At least that's my understanding. I think it was the USS Liberty, wasn't it? Anyway, that happened. So the answer to that question is obvious. Yes, if given a chance, Israel will slaughter U.S. soldiers and U.S. sailors and sink U.S. ships in order to continue to carry out its genocide, because the Zionists are insane, lunatic, diabolical, satanic death cult practitioners. They are beyond crazy. They will kill anyone who gets in their way, including U.S. troops. So I wonder what Antony Blinken is going to do when Israel starts bombing U.S. soldiers in Gaza. And they start coming home in body bags. I mean, for a while they can cover it up. Oh, training exercise, accident. Yep, all these 57 soldiers were killed in training exercises, right? They'll cover it up. But at some point, they can't cover it up, or there'll be film of it, of Israel bombing U.S. troops. Then what's Blinken going to do? Pick up a guitar? Try to sing Rockin' in the Free World again? Oh my God, that's like a sonic weapon of doom right there. That's a weapon of mass destruction. Antony Blinken trying to sing, by the way. Please, God, no. if they could bottle that in a 2,000-pound bomb, you know, they wouldn't even need TNT. But this situation is pretty rapidly going to come to a direct conflict between Israel and the Biden administration, like a kinetic conflict. When U.S. soldiers start coming home in body bags, what will Biden do? Or his handlers, what will they do? Will anybody say no to Netanyahu? See? But the Zionists already have their plan. Trump's going to be put into the White House. The GOP has already been bought off. Almost all of them. Very few exceptions, like Representative Thomas Massie is an exception to that. But almost the entire GOP has been bought off by the Zionists. So they're going to push for a GOP-controlled House, Senate, and White House to have massive wartime stimulus for Israel, unlimited money, unlimited weapons, and to get the U.S. involved in a war with Iran. And very possibly, at least we need to consider the possibility that this helicopter incident was an assassination that feeds into this desired engineered escalation in the region. Again, I pray that that's not the case, but that's what it looks like. And by the way, I should add here, now that I'm checking the latest updates, it's being confirmed by Iran's state media that the president is dead and the foreign minister is dead and some other high-ranking officials. According to Press TV, all of these people have been, quote, martyred in a helicopter crash in northwest of Iran. I'm very concerned about the use of this term, martyred. Now, perhaps I need to be corrected on this, but just going off of my understanding of this word, I'm not sure if the translation is correct or if it's used in the right context, or maybe my understanding is wrong, but my understanding is that the word martyred means that someone sacrificed in a war. Someone sacrificed their lives in a war, in the middle of fighting a war. Does that word choice indicate that the officials in Iran believe that Israel was involved? It seems to point in that direction, although it's still too early to know, but we do have confirmation that these four high-level officials, including the president of Iran, are dead. And I just want to repeat, regardless of what you or I think about Iran or its leaders or its religion or its politics or anything else, this event has so much dangerous potential to spark World War III that I can hardly voice this. I can hardly find the words to express to you how concerned I am about where this could go next. I would imagine that Israel and the United States are going to issue denials of any involvement on their behalf. Will the U.S. issue condolences? I doubt it. Probably Senator Lindsey Graham is celebrating right now. Yay, we killed their leaders, you know, because he's a warmongering lunatic himself. I don't know how this is going to be treated by Western nations, but they are playing with intense emotional states here among the Iranian people who have been victimized by the West in terms of economic sanctions, multiple assassinations. You know, Israel has assassinated Iranian scientists over the years. Israel kills the children and family members of Iranian leaders and Iranian nuclear scientists and so on. I mean, Iran is a nation that has witnessed so much suffering and targeting, most of which Western people aren't even familiar with because none of this is reported in the Western media. Because, you know, the West doesn't want to admit that they're assassinating children, even though they're doing it every day in Gaza, of course. But they go out and assassinate family members of Iranian leaders. So they don't want to admit that. So probably even most of you listening to this had no idea that that was going on. My point is that the Iranian people are very much aware of this pattern of assassinations and deaths and suffering, and they may be at a breaking point here where they say enough is enough, and where they urge the new leaders of Iran to retaliate with everything, absolutely everything. It, like at that moment in a, I don't know, like a Western bar gunfight where one cowboy has been shot a couple times, but he's still standing. And he's like, if I'm going down, I'm taking everybody. And he pulls out two revolvers and just unloads everything. And blam, bitty, blam, 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 blam. It's like, you know, everybody dies, you know, F it. That kind of attitude is what I'm very concerned about, that could emerge from this situation. So what can you do about it? Well, very simple. Number one, consider getting gold and silver, even at the current price, because where it's about to go is probably crazy higher, is my guess. I mean, I can't guarantee it, but that's where things are trending. Secondly, get yourself a diesel tank and store some diesel, because it's going to get very expensive. Get ready for massive destabilization. Get ready for more energy scarcity. Get ready for more food inflation. Get ready for things to escalate to the point where we might be lucky to even have an election. We're talking about escalation into nuclear conflict. Russia could get involved. The U.S. Navy could get involved. You know, it was something of a miracle, the de-escalation that happened a month ago when Iran launched its rockets, you know, and hit Israel, and then Israel retaliated with just some little puny off-the-shelf drones that weren't even launched from Israel. But everybody was able to lie enough in their local media to claim that they were the winners. And then that was it. That was the kind of the de-escalation of that event. Whoever pulled that off, I think there were negotiations with Qatar and other nations. There were third-party negotiations to try to sort that out. Whoever pulled that off probably prevented nuclear war. But it turns out that that peace only lasted a month now. And here we are, right back at it again. Just when you thought that you could get out, they pull you back in, you know? It's the escalations just keep coming. The death of Iran's president is a major destabilizing escalation event that could set off World War III. So be prepared. Be prepared in terms of assets, personal preparedness, you know, your own energy supply, if you can store fuel, all of it. Just watch out for where this goes. All right, with that said, then we're going to go to our special report here about gold and silver that I recorded earlier before we knew for sure that the president of Iran has been killed. So now this exacerbates everything that you'll hear in this report. Thank you for supporting us at healthrangerstore.com. We couldn't do this without your support. We made some major gains over the weekend in terms of our data pipeline processing for our AI models. We finished processing 33,000 articles from Mercola.com. And we're working on Green Med Info articles right now and a lot of other materials. We're going to be releasing a new model scheduled to be released this week. And that's our way of building infrastructure and giving it back to you so you can have these tools for free at your fingertips. And I've got a lot of great surprises coming for you there. Some really good tools that are going to help you stay informed and stay free and stay decentralized. And again, we couldn't do it without your support. So continue shopping at healthrangerstore.com. For your backup communications and emergency comms, don't forget our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, SAT123.com. And they've got something new that's pretty exciting. I've got a working demo in my hands right now. It's their new security OS phone. It's an overlay on the OS on Android that has point-to-point voice calls that are fully encrypted point-to-point. They don't go through central servers, and fully encrypted messaging. You can find out more about that service, which is called Connecta Mobile. It even has you at a new phone carrier. So you get a new SIM card, so your carrier shifts to Connecta Mobile, and it shows your location as being Miami, Florida. No matter where you are, your location is Miami, Florida. So check it out, phone123.com. And if you mention that you heard about them through me, they won't ask you for a social security number or proof of your identity. So just keep that in mind and plan accordingly. All right, phone123.com. With that said, let's go to my special report about gold and silver. There will be no interview today because of these tragic and very destabilizing events, but I'll be back with you tomorrow with another update and a full interview. Silver has now hit its highest price in dollars since 2013. 11 years, and then boom, this big breakout. But it's not just a fad. This is a fundamental alarm bell about dollar currency printing, the imminent collapse of the hegemonic, domineering global reserve currency status of the dollar, and also the bankruptcy of the United States of America, followed by collapse of the United States of America. Now, let me mention something really cool here up front. I recently interviewed a Russian man who grew up partially in America, by the way, so he speaks perfect English. His name is Dmitry Orlov, O-R-L-O-V. And Dmitry, he's the author of a book called The Five Stages of Collapse. And check out my interview with him because I think it's right on. We're going to have him back. And after the interview, I reached out to him and I asked him, hey, can we use your books to train our AI engine? Because we want our AI engine to understand a lot about economics, about currency, dollars, debt, collapse, the former Soviet Union, all these things. So is this possible that we can train on your books? And he said, yes, you can. Because, of course, he's just a cool guy. And he wants his ideas to get out there. And one of the best ways to do that is to let our AI engine train on his ideas. So that's what we're doing. I've purchased all of his books and we're having them scanned and converted into text files. And then we're going to have that processed through our data pipeline. So the upcoming language models that we're going to be releasing at Brighteon.ai, one of the models will have an emphasis on finance, assets, currencies, and the history of the central bank and the history of financial collapse and many similar issues. His books will be used to train that model. And so as a result, I am expecting that model will have really exceptional knowledge about financial collapse. And what we're actually moving toward, this is kind of an inner secret that I haven't really talked about this publicly. But with enough training and enough parameters, we believe that we can have a model that has very high predictive capabilities to predict what's coming. We already have some early results that indicate that. And so the more I train it about the history of finance and the history of currency collapse and the rebirth of nations and so on, the more accurate I think it will be in predicting where things are headed right now. So with that said, silver is breaking out and it's a fundamental issue, not a fad. Silver might never go below $30 again. I mean, I can't say with absolute certainty because it does tend to bounce around quite a bit. It's more volatile than gold typically, you know, percentage-wise. But I wouldn't be surprised if it never goes below 30 again. Even if it does, it's just temporary because silver is headed to $50 an ounce and much higher. And depending on what math you use and who you believe, which analyst you listen to, silver should probably right now be priced anywhere from $100 to $250 an ounce based on actual supply and demand. It's just been kept artificially low by, well, JP Morgan on one hand, but also China. So China processes a lot of silver, kind of the silver crude ore that comes out of the ground. Most of that goes to China. China does the processing. And because of that, China is trying to buy a lot of the ore or the silver value in the ore. They're trying to buy it so they can stockpile more precious metals themselves. And as a result, China is also trying to keep the price of gold and silver very low. And I forgot who it was, but I was listening to an analyst just the other day who was talking about how China and JP Morgan have conspired to keep the price low in order to make sure that China can acquire as much silver and, well, gold also as possible before the big dollar collapse takes place. So in essence, there's a price-fixing racketeering operation that's in play that is keeping the price of silver artificially low, but even their efforts cannot suppress the price of silver forever, and that's why the price is breaking out and going above 30 now. But the fundamentals speak to the fact that silver realistically and honestly should be priced much higher. So in essence, if you buy silver today, you are buying silver at a manipulated, artificially low price. It's kind of like silver's on sale. Actually, again, it's price fixing. It's artificially low. It's almost too good to be true to get it at this price, even $31, $35, you know, anywhere in the 30s is it's almost an unfair advantage. And that's why this situation is being created for the benefit of China and others who are trying to acquire silver. But as long as this stays in place, you can also take advantage of this artificially low manipulated silver price, because you can buy it at, you know, spot plus premium, whatever the premiums happen to be right now. And premiums on silver have been very, very low for, well, about a year, actually. But they're likely to start heading much higher, is my guess. So right now, call our sponsor if you're interested in this. It's the Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company. They offer silver and gold at very competitive prices, at honest delivery, insured, discreet, guaranteed delivery. And they have silver IRAs and much more. You can reach them at metalswithmike.com. And I just want you to know, I do not earn a commission on sales there because their prices are so competitive. There's no room for commissions. They are a sponsor, though. They do pay us a flat fee to be mentioned. And so they're paying me to mention this. But that just helps us fund our operations, our AI systems, our video platforms, and all these other things. Meanwhile, you get fantastic, highly competitive pricing on silver or gold or platinum or whatever you're trying to put into your portfolio. So take advantage of that if it's right for you. As a disclaimer, I'm not your financial advisor, obviously. So get your own financial advice, make your own decisions about what's right for you, and understand that there's risk in every investment. And I don't encourage people to speculate in gold and silver. In fact, the role of gold and silver is anti-speculation. It's about freezing assets in order to hold value right where they are. And that's what gold and silver are really great at, is holding value where they are so that you're not losing value of, let's say, fiat currency due to inflation. But why is silver fundamentally headed much higher? Why is it worth much more than what it costs right now? Part of the answer is found in a recent announcement by Russian President Putin. By the way, you notice how the U.S. State Department always calls him Mr. Putin instead of President Putin. They don't even want to acknowledge that he's the leader of Russia. They call him Mr. So funny. It would be like if all the other foreign leaders called Joe Biden instead of President Biden, if they just called him Mr. Biden, which might be more appropriate since he actually wasn't elected, it turns out. So that would be a case where it's legit to call him Mr. But President Putin recently announced, after visiting with Xi of China, that the trade between Russia and China, which is growing at an extraordinary pace, I mean, the cross-country trade is exploding. 90% of that trade is now being settled in their own national currencies. So in the ruble and the yuan. It's not being settled in dollars. Maybe 10% is settled using dollars. But for any other trade imbalances that they have, they probably just shift gold back and forth to each other, I would imagine. Maybe it's probably only going in one direction at the moment, but the point is they're not using the dollar. And this is even pre-BRICS currency rollout. So the BRICS currency rollout that is happening will cause most countries around the world to stop using dollars. The reason they'll stop using dollars is because the dollars have been weaponized against countries that don't go along with what the US wants. You can be sanctioned if you're using dollars, and you can have your dollars stolen by Western banks, just like what happened to Russia, that they stole, the West stole $300 billion nearly worth of Russian assets held in Western banks. It's frozen, which means it's stolen. So for those countries that want to be able to engage in international trade without being targeted by the West, they're going to ditch the dollar. But there's another important reason why they're going to ditch the dollar, and that's because the dollar is being printed like crazy, which is, of course, devaluing the dollars that everybody currently has. So why would you want to hold on to a currency that's losing 1 or 2% per month in terms of its purchasing power? That's crazy. So nobody wants to do that. That's why they're buying gold and silver or holding other currencies, including their own national currencies in the case of Russia and China and, you know, Iran and India and so on. And there are many other examples around the world just like that. So the people holding dollars, whoever they are, domestically or internationally, they will be left holding nothing. I mean, nothing of value. Oh yeah, you'll have dollars. There's all kinds of dollars. Look, there's dollars in the bank. There's dollars on the side of the road. There's dollars in the air. There's dollars in the trash can. Dollars in a dollar buffet bonanza, whatever, but they're not worth anything. So nobody will want to hold on to them, and they won't have any practical purpose anymore. If you can't use them for trade, what's the point? Now, one of the things that Dmitry Orlov is predicting, and remember, he really studied the collapse of the Soviet Union, and he says that the collapse of America will be so much worse for lots of reasons that he outlines in his book, well, multiple books. But he says that when the US dollar collapses, when the treasury defaults and nobody wants dollars and they're worthless, hyperinflation, the states will, in essence, secede. They will split apart from the federal government, and then the states will have their own currencies. And some states are already working on that. I know Texas is very far along on that. Actually, there are solutions that already exist. Other states like Utah, even Nevada, especially a lot of pro-liberty states, they've been thinking about their own currency, and many of them have been recognizing officially gold and silver as legal tender in their state. Utah is one of those, by the way. And there are many others. So what this means is that in those states, when the dollar collapses, they already have the early phases of a new state-recognized monetary system. And it's going to be based on precious metals. Now, maybe they'll issue their own state currency, but it'll be based on precious metals. It'll be redeemable for precious metals, you know, except for places like California and other liberal hellholes that will be collapsing, of course, and they won't want to tie their currency to any kind of solid value item. So they'll probably say, well, we're not going to tie it to gold or silver. We're just going to print money at the state level until we go ballistic. Oh, okay, great. Go for it. Let California be like the second wave of collapse into a chaotic, lawless hellhole of corruption and filth. I mean, at least that'll be the western part of California. The rest of you who live elsewhere in California, you will split off from the West Coast, by the way. Seriously, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have the new California or the Jeffersonian state or whatever it's going to be, because you can't put up with LA and San Francisco and all that nonsense. So those cities will collapse. There'll be a new California. It'll have a new currency. My point is, whether you're talking about Idaho or Wyoming or Oklahoma or wherever, Florida, going to be a lot of new currencies, state-level currencies. And guess what? You'll be able to buy those currencies with precious metals at a very generous rate. Why? Because those states will be desperate to acquire gold and silver in order to back their state currencies so that the public has faith in them. Those states need to be able to demonstrate through an audit that they own, they possess a certain amount of gold and silver that's backing their currency, and then they can publicly announce, okay, here we have a new currency. Let's say Idaho does it. All right, here's a new Idaho currency. It's shaped like a potato or whatever. They'll say, okay, here's the new Idaho currency. It features a picture of Mr. Potato Head on it. No, all kidding aside. It's backed by gold and silver, and you can redeem it for gold and silver. And then here's the audits. We had auditors come through, and they, you know, measured how much gold and silver that we have. And here's the official report. And this is why you can trust our state currency. So all the states are going to be desperate for gold and silver, which means that if you've been wondering, what is your off-ramp? If you're transitioning your dollar assets right now into gold and silver, where they will be safer as the dollar collapses, then, you know, you're freezing your assets, but you might ask, what's my off-ramp? Where or when do I convert that into other things? This is one of the answers. The state-level currencies that will crop up in every state after the collapse of the dollar and the collapse of Washington, D.C., the collapse of the United States of America, should that occur. Even if that doesn't occur, you will be able to use gold and silver to purchase things as the economic bankruptcy accelerates. So you'll be able to trade gold for large value things, vehicles, construction equipment, a business, a hotel, a restaurant. Just buy the restaurant, the building, the land, everything for a few pieces of gold, potentially, depending on what's happening in the economy. The point is, you'll be able to buy things with gold that are large dollar items, like homes, for example. Do you want to own a bunch of homes and rent them out to people? I don't know. It sounds like a headache to me, but some people want to do that. So that's going to be your opportunity. As the collapse kicks in, home prices plummet, the dollar collapses, the banking system fails. If you run around with gold coins, I mean, not showing them off, but doing private deals, you'll be able to acquire lots of homes for gold. Silver is the people's money. Silver is the day-to-day transaction money. Here, I'll trade you this piece of silver for, you know, 5 pounds of beef or that rack of ribs there, whatever. For food, for clothing. Here's a piece of silver for that cowboy hat, let's say, right? Or a pair of jeans, whatever. A pair of tennis shoes might be a couple of silver coins, you know? It just depends. Or tools. You need to buy some tools, you can spend silver. And Jeremy at Goldbacks, which is also a sponsor of ours, you know, Goldbacks, which have gold embedded in them, and they fit in your wallet, and they're beautiful. Well, he is able to use them at his local Ace Hardware store, by the way, to buy things with Goldbacks, because there's real gold in them. And I think he said he bought compost at a place with his Goldbacks. Anyway, more and more people will be, of course, openly accepting any form of gold and silver because those have value as the dollar is collapsing. If you want to check out Goldbacks, by the way, go to our site, verifiedgoldbacks.com. Verifiedgoldbacks.com. We verified them. That's why we have that domain name with our lab tests. The amount of gold and the purity of the gold that's in them. It's actually physically there. Pretty amazing. But not everybody's seen Goldbacks yet. A lot more people will see them soon. That's true. Everybody has seen gold and silver coins. Not everybody knows about junk silver, though. Junk silver is the pre-1965, I think. Pre-1965 U.S. Mint coins, like quarters and nickels and dimes and half dollars and so on, that have about a 90% silver content. Sometimes I think it's 91%, but anyway, let's just round it to 90%. And those coins are sold in bags. They're called junk silver bags of $1,000 face value of the coins, which is more than $1,000 worth of silver, by the way. It's $1,000 face value of the coins. And it's 90% silver, give or take. So if you have those coins, very quickly in a collapse scenario, people will start to accept those pre-1965 coins because of their silver content. And you can even melt them down and you can extract the silver, separate the silver from the other metals, if that's something you're interested in doing, if you've got the kilns and the know-how to do that, because the silver is really there. Whereas today's coins are just junk, you know, just like zinc and whatever. Who knows what's in them? if they could make them out of recycled garbage, they would, because that's what they're going to be worth. So if you want to get some of the junk silver bags, it's our same sponsor, metalswithmike.com, and they can get you these bags, you know, in your hands, or they can vault them for you. A woman came up to me at a recent event and asked, do I recommend the vaulting services for some people? I said, absolutely. She said she lived in San Antonio, I believe, and she wasn't sure if she could keep gold and silver safe at her own home or wherever she lived. I don't know, maybe she lived in an apartment. But she was asking about the vaulting services. And they're excellent if it's right for you. Now, if you live out in the country like I do, maybe you want to have some on hand and then some in the vault also. I mean, I use vaulting services too, by the way. I don't have physical possession of every ounce of silver that I own, for example, even though I've been stacking silver, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, year after year. I don't physically have it all in my possession. I use vaulting services because, well, you know, it's diversity. They have security. They have insurance. Lloyd's of London, in fact, insures the Treasure Island vaulting services. And if you have a silver IRA, I think the IRS requires you to vault it. I think the IRS doesn't allow you to take possession and still consider it part of an IRA, so you have to use a vaulting service for it. So anyway, I'm not 100% sure about that, but you can check with Treasure Island if you're interested in the IRS-approved IRA gold and silver accounts, which I think is a very smart thing to do. If I had any stocks, which I don't own a single stock, I would sell them all and I would get into gold and silver in an account if that's the only option. That's what I would do. Because the stock market, I don't trust it. I don't trust the dollar. I don't trust the treasury. I don't trust the banks. What I do trust is things that people can't alter, like the laws of physics, the table of elements, gold and silver, AU and AG on that table. I trust it because it's part of the fabric of the cosmos, and nobody can just cheat the system and create unlimited gold and silver out of nothing, it turns out. All right, so thanks for listening, and check out our sponsors again, metalswithmike.com or verifiedgoldbacks.com. Learn about both of those and get ready for some interesting price moves in gold and silver as the dollar continues to accelerate its collapse. Thanks for listening. I'm Mike Adams here. Take care. Also, have you seen these? These are goldbacks, and we've got different denominations to show you there. They come in 50, 25, 10, 5, and 1s. That's a stack of 1s. This is 1/1000th of a troy ounce of gold, and it's embedded in the polymer layers in the gold backs, and you can get them, again, at those different denominations, so it's good divisibility of gold. And since the gold is in the gold back itself, it's not some fiat currency. It's actually a piece of gold that you can use for gifts or barter or trade, even in a local community. If the grid goes down, a lot of people might be using gold and silver or gold backs. Now, if you go to our website, verifiedgoldbacks.com, that's our affiliate site. We do earn a little bit off your purchase there, but what we've done is we've done the laboratory testing. And on that site, you'll see my lab test results, how we tested them using a kiln, using an ICP-MS mass spec instrument, using an acid stone test here as well. We verified the purity and the masses of the gold that are embedded in these different bills. And in fact, I've got here in these vials in my hands right here, this is actually one of the pellets of gold. I melted it down into like a BB shape. I don't know if you can see it, but I've got gold in these three vials right here. Yeah, there you can kind of see it moving around there. You can hear them. And we did the tests on these, and this is the gold that came out of these gold backs. So we were able to confirm the gold is real, it's 24 karat plus, and it actually exceeds the mass that's required. Our recovery ranged from 102% to about 100 and, what was it, typically 105%. I've got the results here. Check this out. Look at these photos. I did all this myself. So if you melt them down, you get this, and then you keep melting, you get it into like a pellet. and then you use an analytical balance in the laboratory and you do the math. It's pretty amazing. At first you get this gold foil, which is pretty cool. And then you can melt the foil into this like BB pellet looking thing. Anyway, here's the recoveries we got from a low of 102.89% or 101.96%. That's the lowest, to 107% recovery. And the bottom line is, if you want real gold in your hands that's divisible, that is also incredibly beautiful, that people instantly love, they recognize this, they see, wow, that's gold. And they're actually looking at gold. This isn't paint. This is the gold, just kind of made really thin and put into this format and then sandwiched between polymers. Goldbacks are your answer. So check out verifiedgoldbacks.com. And there you can purchase goldbacks and you can help support this platform at the same time because we earn a small percentage. And this is a really good form of off-grid money. And you might have gold coins or silver coins. And I strongly encourage gold and silver coins, but a gold coin is a pretty big piece of value to try to trade with. You know, you're at a farmer's market, you're like, oh, I want a loaf of bread. What do you have? Oh, I have a 1 ounce gold coin. Well, that's worth $2,100 now, or $2,200, gold skyrocketing. So what are you going to do? Like buy a loaf of bread and then give me change for the 1 ounce of gold? No. But if you're trying to buy that loaf of bread with a gold back, you say, hey, how would you like 1/1000th of an ounce of gold for that loaf of bread in this format, gold backs, which actually has a premium over just the raw price of gold because it's better than just 1/1000th of an ounce of gold. I mean, it's in a format it's beautiful to look at. It's durable. You can carry it. It fits in a wallet or a pocket or a purse. A lot of merchants will say, absolutely, I'll take that gold. And now you can buy a loaf of bread or you can buy, you know, a bag of potatoes or whatever, depending on what the economy looks like after the debt collapse. I don't know what it's going to look like exactly, but I know I want gold and silver, and I want to have lots of different options of money that works off grid. So yeah, our grid's not reliable. Our monetary system is not reliable. The currency is not reliable. But you know what you can count on? Physical gold and silver in your hands. That's what you can count on. It doesn't need a password. You don't need to log in. It doesn't need the bank's permission to have value. It doesn't need the backing of a government. You don't have to have faith in the treasury to confiscate money from people. This has value all by itself. And gold has had value for centuries. I mean, come on, millennia, what am I saying? And it will continue to have value long after the collapse of the dollar and probably the collapse of Western civilization itself. So there you go. That's why the wealthy are buying gold like crazy. That's why gold is spiking. What is it now? Let me actually bring it up. Gold. Here it is right now. Gold at $2,128. Silver at 23.67. These are all skyrocketing. Bitcoin is skyrocketing. Gold skyrocketing. Monero is skyrocketing. Why? Because people who know what's about to happen, they are bailing out of the banks. They're bailing out of the dollars. They're getting out of the system. They're going to off-grid forms of asset protection. And that's gold and silver and land and certain types of crypto and maybe, you know, food supplies or ammunition supplies. And if you want food, of course, check us out at healthrangerstore.com and we've got you covered there. So consider your options, do your research, and make sure you are ready for what's about to happen. Look at that. That's beautiful. That's gold. This is so cool. The 50 is thick. It is very thick and it's much larger than the one. Because there's 51/1000ths of an ounce of gold in this. And if you could feel it, it's heavier, it's thicker. Because the gold is actually in there. You really can't put much more gold in a bill than 51/1000ths of an ounce. So they've done a great job with this, the gold-backed company. And this is something that has really intrigued a lot of people. And it's another form of having stores of value that are highly divisible and have high utility, more utility than just a 1 ounce coin itself. So be sure to check these out again, verifiedgoldbacks.com. And thank you for your support. Get ready because we're headed into interesting times. Be safe. Take care.